So, all in terms of my Bomer, all in terms of Pastor Joy, when I come, Rabbi Dalia, come on over. I want you to read something for us.
You want to read it? I can eat that all the time. You want to read it? I'll read it. I'm listening. Come on, I realize it's always.
So the question was, I didn't mean to hold you up. The question was, I don't usually use the set, but I guess I'll do it this one time, because I wanted to answer the question that's here. Usually I avoid the set. The question was, can you talk to a tzaddik? Is there a problem with speaking to a tzaddik? That was the question. Well, why don't you talk to Hashem? All over the world. So we spoke right, we said, we're not going to set up. It's like I'm in the next room, but I won't hear you. Sounds like he wants you to talk to him, right? Sounds like he's okay with that. So why would you? So a lot of people feel very uncomfortable. When you ask a question about tzaddik, you're going over the world, like as if he's going to answer you. He's going to send you an answer. Where'd you get this from? He's going to answer you. So I'm going to read from the Shai Yubulim, what the Shmuel Mikal says. And I've got here. The Reis told him, I'll come to you and teach you after I die. He was on his deathbed. So this person, Rav Yitzchak Cohen, he said, how will you come? So the Rebbe said, what's the difference to you how I'll come? When you're awake, when you're asleep, when you're this, whether that, what's the difference? You just have to be on the level, and I'll come. Don't worry about it. Then the Rebbe said, okay, it's time for you to go. You're a Cohen. I don't want to defile you. I head up the room and left the world. Mishika. So as Rav Yitzchak said, the same thing happened with my father. When he died, the day he died, Rav Yitzchak said to me, Rav Yitzchak right now, don't be afraid of anything. Because whatever you need, whatever you want, whatever question you have, ask me, come to the keder, and ask me, and I'll answer you. So that's what happened many times. I went to my father's cabin. I asked anything I wanted to ask, and he answered my questions. What is this? Why did you read his book? I see it inside. I didn't make it up. It's pretty clear. It's pretty straightforward. It's not anything terrible. It's Shari Buddha. So you want to be on the Gemara, what does it mean? And you can ask, you can't ask, you this or that. Of course you're diving into Shem, it's for sure true. But it's clear that you're allowed, it's not a problem. But sort of nothing doesn't feel it. It's clear to feel it for Rishon Bar Yochai. You say on my bone, it's a very powerful feel. And we are addressing Rishon Bar Yochai, a great deal of that feel. Very strong. That's the one time. Like I said, I usually do not address the Tzaddik generally speaking, because it's not the most comfortable way for me to connect, for me personally. But I understand people do. The time I do is on my goma. I say that too, at least I try to say it every year. And it's very powerful, very moving, and very beautiful. And I can see how a person is saying, like that's what I was trying to say the other day, and it's so true, that he says, this is how I'm able to connect to the sun. So you want to say, well, where do you have a source that you're allowed to even speak to someone like you're not going to say? Okay, we're not going to listen to the body. Man, you try to say whatever you want, and he's sitting in the next room, maybe there's only a door, you can say whatever you like. But the bottom line is that same thing happened with the Rizal and the Chaim Vital. The Chaim Vital is clearly that's what he said. That's many questions. At least in his learning, this is his understanding. And he's asking questions, and answering them might mean, what should I do? And very likely does. Don't be afraid. It's not just what's cut in the toes. So what is he asking? What's cut in the toes? What's cut in the toes? He's asking, what do I do? What should I do here? What about this? What about that? And he answered it. That's what it seems to be. What do you mean, don't be afraid? You want to know the chat and post this, I'll tell you. That's what you're afraid of. So you don't have to be afraid. I'll help you. Even though I'll be even exposed. Just come to my grave and ask. And I'll answer you.
Before you die.
Yeah, there you go. It's pretty straight. It's not serious. It's something that's way before.
Is that just for his son? Or is that
presumably? See, that's a good question for Chaim Vital. But for sure, Rav Nachman was well within his rights to go on this press, which I'm not even sure they had in Europe. I don't know if this book was available. Yeah. Certainly not this note. I'm just not certain. Did they have a Charlotte Bulletin? Did they? I don't know. Maybe they did. I'm not certain. Did they have a ghost? I don't know. But either way, there's very strong sources for this. It's not a...
How do you know whose side it is?
That's a very good question.
Let's say I want to attach myself to the side. How do I know? Is there like, do I have a questionnaire asking to fill out?
For us in Breslev, it's pretty easy actually. For a lot of people, Breslev at least, because we just go through Nachmanides itself. That's pretty straightforward.
We can't talk to him. We can ask him questions. We can have a dialogue.
You can, but it's not the same. It's true. It's easier when you have someone with you live, but. Most likely, the closest thing you're going to find is hopefully someone's going to be a conduit for the Nachman for you. But not so much he's Ditzadik, he's not Ditzadik. That's usually what I found. We're in a time now when everything is very, very precious, but there are very, very big Nishonos, a very big test. I mean, when you learn about, that's again, same question you asked yesterday about Tikkun HaBris, you have to get rid of all possible. Every little tiniest desire, or get this place where you're higher up, somewhere you're higher up. Rav Nosson is very clear that is a description of a real deal tzaddik. That's not some level which you don't have to get to, it's no big deal. You just do a few hours in front of us and you get there. No way. It's a very towering level. And that's really what determines who's a real tzaddik. So when you have someone who was raised in America, right, and he didn't have a TV. Let's say he didn't have any kind of pictures even in his surroundings in his house. But there were billboards he's driving by. And he heard this, and he saw that. He's already not going to be the tzaddik ha'emetek that he's talking about. He can't get there. Unless he really does something very, very big. Like tshuva who's really striving, yearning, maybe. And I don't mean about tshuva that he necessarily broke Shabbos. Just about tshuva, so he shouldn't be a Rasha, because he has two choices. Either he can stay a Rasha, or he can be about tshuva, because he's what he went through in a certain way damages very, very much. And so we're like in your unkosher food. It just damages, it holds him back. He's got the purity, he doesn't have that purity. But even in the 18th century, maybe, he just didn't see such things. It didn't really exist, unless the person went to the wrong places, but hopefully it didn't exist. People knew that. You have to be malish, you have to decorum, hopefully. That was the idea. So if you're not going out of your way to see something, you're not going to see something, hopefully. That was the way things were. But today, it's like, you've got so much to fix.
The difference between Yerushalayim and here, the difference between Yerushalayim in here, and LA on Beverly Boulevard next to CBS Studios, is the difference between Gehenna, or worse, and God even.
You're right. You're 100% right.
And the reason I can say that is, I was attending Yeshiva for about a year, went back 2 weeks to my son's wedding in LA, and it was Gehenna. I mean, just spiritually, not you know. Even though things like the glatt kosher, it's like just the spirituality. I mean, that's the only word I can use. I mean, there's probably something a better word for it, but it's like you could literally feel it if you. I won't say open your eyes. Open your other eyes.
Yes, you're right.
I mean, this is from personal experience.
Absolutely. No doubt about it. The Rechazka Levenstein spent 2 years in America. His house was next to the yeshiva. He never looked at anything. Went straight to yeshiva in the morning, went home at night, and he left after 2 years, no longer being the spiritual advisor of the new yeshiva in, or wherever he was. I think the new yeshiva in America, he had to go to Eretz Yisrael. That's Israel. So why are you in Israel? You had a position. You're coming to Israel. He said, those 2 years, I lost 20 years of spiritual work. 20 years down the drain. For those 2 years. He didn't do anything. He didn't go anywhere. Just being in the environment.
I totally agree with what he said.
Yeah, exactly. Rabbi Chanan Wasserman also. They were driving. And then he said, the driver told him, you know, there's a way, he said, you know, there's a way you go, goes through Times Square or something like that. He said, I don't like that way. I don't care how far you have to go, wherever you have to drive, don't go through that area. It's bad for me. I feel it. And the driver, I don't know exactly what happened, but he was in a rush, and he started going one way, and he saw it wasn't right. And short, he said, you know what, I'll just go that way. What's he going to know? The windows weren't, he made sure the windows were, couldn't see anything. Khan didn't want to see. And when they get to the destination, he opens the door, and Khan says, so why'd you go through the way I told you not to go? Why'd you go? Feel it. It's not because of the time. It was the same amount of time. It was quicker. It was slower. He should have been able to know. He could feel it. That's the people that want it. When you have a sense, your spiritual senses develop. So we have a bechina where a person, he needs to do, like, to get to these levels, it's minasam, not really so much our job. We can yearn, we can strive, we can hope, and we know that it's possible. But for a person to say, well, I'm this age, and I've been to this and this place, and I want to go to this and this place, like, it's not, he's not always going to have the koach to put in the 24/7 work he needs. And that's what Nelson says also. He says, the person, listen, whatever he's trying to serve Hashem, he's doing, keeping the Shulchan Aruch, he's doing what he needs to do, and whatever it is, he does his best. Rabbi Nachman says, Abba Shaul said, one of the things he said, I want to make my prayer should be right next to my bed. So Rabbi Nachman says this himself, says this Saran. Rabbi Nachman says, Abba Shaul is saying, I don't care what happened in the bed. I don't care what happened, how high or not so high. He said, you have to be able to turn to Hashem and daven right away. Person had a failing, they fell, okay, that's mine.
Yes,
I can't doubt it. What, I can't doubt it? I can doubt it. I'm still, I have problems I need to work on. That's what the, that's the, terms of the,
that's condition. So, that's why it's so important to do this book, to do wherever you are.
Absolutely.
Minimum an hour.
Absolutely. You're right.
Minimum half an hour on one subject. Mm-hmm. And also, what I find, if I can do it, assuming I'm not woken up by the cats, or am woken up by the cats, is Tikkun HaKol.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we all have to find our way, but we can't, there's no way to, so you're thinking about Sabi, and finding someone who's not already sullied by our, like the Chazon Ish said, our street, and he's talking about even a better street than today's street. It's not so easy. It's not so easy. Realistically speaking, I think it's very difficult. That's what I can say. So fixing these things afterwards, very, very, it's not so, again, you read what they talk about, what Rabbi Nelson says, and what Rebbe says, and you start to see that these levels are really a high level. It's not a picnic. First one's...
On that subject, what's happening with Rob Berlin?
Berlin, I don't know. He's in South Africa right now, and I don't know. I don't know what's happening. All I know is, I don't know much.
I mean, something's happening. Something's happening. That's all I can say.
I don't know. I have to fit in these. All I know, like one person said, he wasn't that close to him, he was rest of her. And he said, I think these people are crazy. The so-called person who saw what he's supposed to have seen somehow couldn't buy a camera, and he's seeing day after day, week after week. I mean, come on, that sounds to me like, he's drinking a little bit. You see, it's such a thing. It's so important. And then you spend months and a year, who knows how long, trying to convince people. All you need to do is take a few pictures. No pictures, why not? So the other side saying, well, because people he's got, so willing to blow $1 million to get him out of the picture, and that's what they did. Is it true? I have no idea if it's true. Is it possible someone very great to fall? For sure, undoubtedly. Does that mean that happened here? It seems like he says, I'm not a chassid in Berlin, never was, an old man. I'm not this person, no, like, he's a very chassid person. It's a very important for the great
no,
thing
no,
to say. But if you can't buy for 20 shekels.
I'm not talking about that, I'm talking about.
That for sure. No, but he says, I don't, the flower this whole thing, I think is just, I can't, it sounds like it's a fairy tale. You're a fool. I never met a fool like you in my life. Either you are, and you're pretty clever, and then you work your head up trying to convince people. To end the time. I said, plus you were paid off. That's what he said. Is it true again? I don't know what. I also inclined to not believe it, but I'm not saying that what's going on in heaven, I don't know. I'm not privy to it.
I mean, it's something about up there that I'm talking about. It's just like...
I don't know. Maybe you're right. I certainly do not.
Last week, I was at the shop of St. Louis with two rabbis who are in Jewish education. Mm-hmm. And they asked me, what do I do? So I told them, I kind of shishim.
Uh-huh.
And these guys knew more about Breslau. Well, they're not Breslauers, but they knew more about it than I did, easily.
Uh-huh.
And I was amazed that for people who know so much about it, they don't try to teach it. You're involved in education.
They do, but they hide it.
Sure they do.
Oh, they're...
What do they do?
They're...
My
girl...
I'll explain to you why. Sorry. No, it's... I'll be more clear in a minute, but that's what you want to say?
I was thinking about giving Chris an example.
But just a second, we'll get back to it. What were you saying? What do you want? What example do you want to give?
So, my job is in the Navy. I'm slated to be captain of the ship. My last job was second in command of the ship. And then I get to talk to people sometimes and mess up, and then next time I see the captain for punishment. So, and one, you know, I tell the guy, he was late. So, you know, yeah, you were late. But you know, it really hits me about this case, you know, shipmate, you know, demon. You drug your mother down with you. You involved her in your lie. You told your chief you were going to visit your mother who was sick. Mother wasn't sick, and you were at home. You brought your mother down with you. So, what I want you to do, what you need to do, you try anything in the world, you need to do this. You look into yourself. Find out why this seemed so and so lie. What is causing you to lie? Give me another tip. You take it, not take it, entirely up to you. I tell you, if you don't take it, probably gonna see me again sometime soon. You spend an hour every day.
Huh?
You ask yourself, why do I lie? Help me not lie. Help me figure out why I'm caught in a lie, why I start to lie, and make it so I don't lie. You spend an hour a day. You play video games? Yep. Play an hour less. Watch MTV? Watch an hour less. Spend 1 hour a day figuring out why you don't lie. So I didn't say God, because that probably would not be good enough. But I said everything but tell
me. Excellent. You're giving good advice, that's for sure. No, but I'm telling you, this is its own topic. It's a very important topic, which is that once you have the basic building blocks of the nothing or nothing, but the left especially, whatever book you will open, whatever it may be, if it's in Sister Sharma, if it's time, if it's any book, it's going to look different. It's going to be different. It's going to have a lot more, it's going to pick you up more, a lot more chizik. Automatically, just how you present it. That's what Rav Nachman said. He said, Rav Nachman is giving you the elixir of life. Torah is an elixir of life, not as a potion of death. Torah has two powers. There's some things, it's like a potion, elixir, which you have either good or bad. You have to use the good, not the bad. So when you have this, your decision is not the same. That's just the way, which is more chizik. It's automatic. It's reflexive. I do it also. When I present something, it's too harsh. I just put in those extra two words, which is totally authentic, totally true, and it's exactly what the person said and meant. And then it's machar. Right into it. Then I can't. According to that Dhamma Rav Nachman, it doesn't even work. It just goes right in smoothly. And that's why they know so much. And that's why maybe they're successful. Just to have what to say to make it much more. And a lot of people I know like this. They have to run to the table, they have to look around for their reference, and they can't say the word to who it is. They can't say anything. Yeah. We're not going to say it explicitly. Don't tell people it's going to get them get in trouble or make them unable to use the advice. Whatever it is, fine. You know? Just what do I care if they serve Hashem with my power and they don't know? I don't care. Serve Hashem. Make things take for Hashem. I don't care. Another important... We spoke about this, if you remember. Yeah, we spoke about this. We spoke about this one. Like, actually, the meaning of the... There's a very strong diburim when we're on Tzaddik, right? There's a very strong diburim about Tzaddik. And they're true. But sometimes, you know, this is the pitfall of this pathway, right? We haven't done pitfalls. The pitfall is, so the person is so focused on the great, vast importance of tzaddik, he forgets about everything else, everyone else, and that there's other perspectives. And they may not be what we call the Emerson Endless, but the person has truth. In other words, you can't say, well, if you don't have tzaddik, you're not redeemed. You're far away. What's that? It would help him to have tzaddik, but he doesn't have, he has a lot of good. It's not the... When that one's upset, he said, I once taught this person a few teachings, and then he lived a good life, and he was affected positively, and he really, really changed for the better, and he died with a good name because of my teachings. Even though he doesn't really associate, he wasn't connecting to binding himself in a tzaddik, he was like a regular guy, but he took a lesson. There's another story, I tell a beautiful story about this person who was, he was a baker in Uman. And I don't know what happened exactly. He found his place in the breast of a shul. Sure, why? And the breast of they were suffering from him. He liked to chat during davening. And he talked, and he blah, 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 buzzing away, buzzing away, buzzing away. And they're like, what do we do? Gotta throw this guy out. You can't just chat people up. Probably davening with intensity, and here you are, chatting up. The Nabarik, they brought people to Davin the best of the Nabarik or two. They brought different people from Nabarik. Davin the best of the place in Uman. And he said, your Davin is like our Rosh Hashanah Davin. We're regular night admirers. It's fire, it's intense. And his guy's talking him, talking this. What's going to be with him? So he told the Prophet Nathan. He was like the most important rest of the day. They didn't want to do anything like this without talking to him. Because if nothing was very against throwing anybody out, unless these guys trying to take over the shul. You're trying to be the leader of the man, he's not holy by him, but he's just a regular guy, he wants to throw someone out. He says, we gotta throw him out. So if I'm not, as usual, he didn't say 100, he didn't say yes or no. He said, I have a question for you. Why do you suppose he's drawn to our shul? What's doing here? They're not the shul that they're talking about. Something drawing you here that's good, he sees that he relates to. Maybe being here will make him a better Jew. You can't throw somebody like that out. You can't, who's going to take responsibility? How can you take responsibility for the possible positive results which you're holding back by throwing up? So they suffered him and suffered him and suffered him. And after another whole bunch of months, he moved with his family to Uman. And his daughter is in Uman. And she's writing letters. And she wrote a letter, and she's so proud of her father. She wrote a letter to her family, and they got it out. So proud of her father, because everyone in America is going off the desk. They're left, right, and center. She said, my father, strong. Stay strong. Not going to work in Shabbos. Nothing. He said, even told people off in shul, they were talking in shul. He said, what do you guys know about davening? I daven the Breshka Kodesh Ruman. And what doesn't speak to a davening? From nowhere, he was the bad guy. He came to America because of the pressure. Whatever it was, he found that. It just takes time. You just have to keep on trying our best, keep on working, and eventually... It'll move a person. But was this guy connected to the tzaddik? Did he know Reb Nachman? Did he ever say Tikkun Chol even? I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe not. The answer might be no. Did he have no connection to the tzaddik? Of course he did. What he saw were the people of tzaddik that changed him and helped him hold on to Torah despite impossible odds that almost no one was able to withstand. So of course he's connected to the tzaddik. Did he get Uman? And we're not prepared to take a quality to do the things one usually does? No. Was he Zohar to the max? No way. Does he have a connection? Of course he does. So there's different. We have to be very careful we can't write people off because they don't understand. This would be better. And if you understood this, would be better. If you understood this person addressed it, it would be better. That person, or these books, or that books. The person does his best. And he has whatever he has. So that's what people are giving. They're giving under the table. And Reb Nachman Mitulcher was very careful about it. Do not tell. When you think he's going to make an explosion, do not tell. There was even somebody who kept asking, Reb Nachman kept telling him, don't tell, don't tell. And he decided to don't tell him. They're terrible chum. Terrible chum. He's helping so many people, and he just, only five stayed with him. It's a whole nice, it's a whole story. It's a different story. You're not supposed to tell if it's going to make a destruction. But Sefer Chaim says it. Maybe Gula Olam. Gula. It has to make Gula. When you say something over in the name of someone, it makes Gula. Like Esther and Mordecai. Right, but not to make a chorban, not to destruction, not a destruction. We don't make a destruction. We don't. You don't say if it's gonna ruin things. You only say if it's gonna make things better. Help. So we don't even care. Someone cannot accept that it's from a Renachim. Let him serve Hashem as a good Jew, who he is. And he won't know now. He isn't Zochen now to know about the Tzitzit and the beautiful letters he's in their original form. He can't get these books. He's not going to Oman. That's just not where he is. He can't accept it. Maybe one day. Right now he can. And we're patient with him. And we understand he has his good points. And they'll get much better by hearing these beautiful teachings. But we have no idea. The most effective people in Chinuch today are bringing a lot of breast of Or and something. Who also have breastless for him, and also was based on a lot of breastless. Or whoever it is, that's what's on the table, that's what's giving them the vitality. Whether it's built up, wherever it may be, that's the big, the motor making the Torah really work. That's really what it is. And Hashem, we're Zochah, we can come to the original. We can come to the original. Hashem, on the Rishim, this is what Rishim Baruchai is. Rishim Baruchai is that getting that staying power, strong koch. No matter what, I'm not giving up. Even if it's mad, even I don't care. But who is the tzaddik? The best, the safest way is doing nothing. That's the safest bet. But then you know for sure. Somebody else, there's different ways, different streams of thought. Some say once you find somebody, attach them to someone alive, others say not. It's in Likut HaLechos, there are various languages, there are various, in some places it seems like you need to have one a person, or other places it used to be you need to have it's Rabbi Nachman. There are different ways of explaining what does that mean. Maybe a person is a Talmidim, maybe this, maybe there are different ways of looking at it, different languages, which he's purposely vague. And it's not clear why. Some say because the ones who say you need a person, they say because he wanted also to include Rabbi Nachman. The other ones who say it's really not going to say he needs a Talmidim, even though it doesn't look like that. It's a two or three Tzaddikim of the generation. It might be people you can connect to. But the way I understand it, whether, you know, I don't know if it's people would be happy with this Mahalach, but it might be very well be that Amnesty himself was opening the way for both channels. Like if you need to find someone, you'll find someone. If you don't need to find someone, you can find a Renachman. It depends on your Neshama, it depends on who you are. So according to what he was getting from Mahalach, he's like two or three. So he writes just three, that the Tzaddik and the Sanders, the one. It's different Mahalach because it depends on who you are, it depends on what will work for you. There are a lot of people that they connect to someone and he's their spiritual guide, and without that, they'd be lost and they know it. So then obviously that's what you need. There's no big question mark. But if a person sees that that's not helping him for whatever reason, so then he doesn't have to feel that. I don't have to be used to this one for that one. Because the rest of it is very, very, very open. Everything works. Ah, to the order of the Shimon, the order of the table, one the table's not. All the negative.
Amen.
Shabbos.